Recording up, and I forgot to start the recording. So we missed all of that great discussion about Jen and her new car, which is now moot because she's already bought her car. So
she didn't
need to go back and listen to it. So yeah, do you want to share that, Jen?
Oh, sure. No, I did. So last Saturday I test drove a car I thought I wanted, and then I went over to Land Rover, and I liked the sales guy. I did it all by myself. I texted Deb, and she gave me some ideas, so that was nice. So I was comfortable with what I paid, so I didn't feel like I was getting swindled, and he was really nice. So, yay, I love my new car.
Land Rover, is that what you got?
I got the Discovery Sport. They just started carrying them in 2015. It's like the affordable Land Rover, so I'm not spending an obscene amount of money. It's cute. It's a lot like the shape of the Range Rover Evoque, but it's made for families, where the Range Rover Evoque is made for single people because the trunk is literally this big. It's like a huge back seat. So it's basically the small Land Rover and a lot cheaper.
Very nice.
So I was happy. That's I like it. It's nice. It's pretty.
And it smells good, right?
Exactly.
Well, for a while, anyway.
I will tell you that the night I brought it home, Grayson spilled granola all over the floor.
You did what?
He spilled granola, over the floor. So then I had to go get the vacuum cleaner. So it's already been christened by Grayson.
With or without milk?
Without.
And you're fine. You're awesome.
No problem.
Exactly. Okay. How about other reports in about what happened last week for you as a result of what happened on the call? Lisa, did you get your office moved?
I did, and had a phenomenal massage yesterday because I knew I was going to need it. Yes, I got it moved. There are a few things. I anticipated most of the issues. One that I did not anticipate was that the color of the walls is much darker. So I wound up having to go to Target and buy 5 lights. The one room is fine. I still don't like the other room. It's just too dark. It's like a dark slate blue. So I, in the spirit of I'm not going to put up with this for a year, I emailed the office manager and said, what are my options for changing the colors of the wall? If I pay for it, can I paint them? Because it's a very cold room and it's a very dark room and I don't like it. And, you know, I had 3 patients in it yesterday and 2 of them said it was fine. And 1 said, I don't like it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of with you. So, so I'm working on dealing with that. And I actually worked there yesterday and ran both rooms successfully.
Great.
And the one patient that I ran over a little bit on, she came late. So I still only gave her 45 minutes as opposed to the full 60 because it was like, I just couldn't be that late. And she was fine with it. So, you know, yeah. So yes, I can run 2 rooms. And I even ran in the second room 3 patients back to back because I had an emergency call from a patient, which is one of the reasons that I did this, and it worked fine. So I'm pleased.
Right. Good. Congratulations. That's a huge win for you.
Big one. Yeah, it really is.
Good. And you had said last time that you were going to be upgrading patient policies and getting a sign for your button. And
I got a sign for my button. They took it down because they didn't like it. So we're still working on that. I think I'll just remind people at the appointments, look, you know, because I'm doing 2 rooms, I need you to just go to the bathroom ahead of time. But they didn't like the sign that said, please pee, basically. I did not upgrade the patient policy. What I'm doing instead is I'm doing it verbally. I'm just drowning in paperwork and stuff to do. So it's just like, and having one more piece of paper for everybody to sign and stuff, it's like not right now. So I'll just tell them, look, you know, you get what you get, and I need you guys to go to the bathroom. I need you guys just to be prepared to come in. And what I did was I actually only have 1 chair in my second room. So that's basically the place where they sit, take off their clothes, and hop up on the table. But I'm actually doing that in both rooms now. I'm basically just say, get up on the table and lie down. You can talk to me while I'm doing pulses and stuff like that. So that seems to be working.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. And Chrissy, your goals were to look at a plan, define 5 steps to accomplish, and decide what work to do.
Right. It's not about a plan. I feel very passionate and strongly about that. I'm still in conceptualization. Am I moving forward and bringing an insightful player back to life, or am I putting it back on the back burner? So I'm starting to have conversations with people about an insightful player. Yeah.
Okay. And that is your help seat topic. So we'll get back to it.
Good.
Good. And that said, let's just jump into the help seats. And I noticed in my notes here that Jen and Deb seem to be the ones that jump in to be first in the help seat. So, Jen, you get to be second this time. And Chrissy, you get to be first.
Okie doke.
Well, okie doke.
No prob.
So I want, just to interrupt real quick.
Go ahead. Jen?
Uh-oh.
Oh, sorry. My internet's being really crappy. Can you send me the phone call information so in case it keeps going out, I can then just
You'll
call
have
in?
To just bear with me for just a second then.
Sure. But it's working.
It's a little funky.
Keep working, but just in case it freezes.
Okay, I'm sending it to you by text.
I'll have it. Sorry. Then go ahead, Chrissy.
Just a second. Hang on just a second. I don't want to miss a thing. Do you still have the link for the meeting ID?
She's frozen.
I think it's frozen.
I do, I believe.
That's okay. I'm sending it to you in the second email or second text. Okay. All right, let's get back to it. Okay, did you get them, Jen? Okay. She can still hear us, I think. We can't hear her. She's frozen, so she'll call in on the phone. Okay. Go ahead, Chrissy.
Okay. So as I mentioned last week, actually, our last visit, I was talking about whether to bring insightful player back in to the picture or keep it on the back burner. And there was a lot of suggestions around, do I have a plan? But a plan is premature. I'm very good at planning and I'm very strategic. It's a much bigger question for me than a plan. It's more about where, you know, when I'm at the end of my life, will I feel like I've done everything that I could do to either bring it forward, or was this time in my life a time to let it go? So, yes, I'm passionate about it, and I really believe it can help make a huge impact on elevating humanity by educating children. And the market has always been 12 to 18. And yes, I talked about a desire to go younger, but I guess that will come later because I need to be more specific. And part of the way that I had in my plan, I did look at my plan from before, was part of the ways to have the high school mentor middle school and then have middle school mentor younger children once they're involved, but not right away. So some of the things I've been thinking about is, first of all, I have a marketing specialist that I'm going to be working with who is brilliant. And you know, someone I have enormous respect and love for. So it's a wonderful relationship. And so we set up we're bartering. I'm coaching her, and she's helping me with this. And we set up all our appointments, and we decided we're going to meet every week. So I'm really excited about that. And so I'm just at the conceptualizing. The ideas that I mentioned last week is taking, you know, reaching out to my players. I have 51 players. Some of them I'm closer to than others, and I've never asked them for anything, and that was my mistake. I tried to do it all alone, you know, as the Lone Ranger, which was to my detriment. Looking back, I know that now. So I want to find out what would make it compelling for them to get more involved. And my conversations around with them have been pretty one-sided. So that's a new approach that I'm working on, is coming up with what do I want to ask them. And I decided to start off with 5 players that I'm really close to and get their input on how to design these interviews. So I feel good about that. There are some players that are almost like family to me, and so that will really help a lot. As well as reaching out to a few select media that I've made some wonderful relationships with around over the past several years. And
okay, Chrissy, so what exactly do you want from the group?
I think it's more about brainstorming. Do you see anything come to mind of how to bring my programs to the world? You know, any thoughts you have, I know blind spots or... do I appear burnt out? Is it blind spots or am I burnt out? Because I put so much into Insightful Player. I mean, I gave it 1,000,000%. I've made an enormous amount of sacrifices, which I didn't mind making. I mean, even on one of our anniversaries, because I made so many financial sacrifices, because I believed in this program so much. For our anniversary, we went to the food court at the mall for our dinner to celebrate our anniversary, and that made us laugh. I mean, we were okay with it because the sacrifice was so worth it, right? And the whole concept is to empower children, and I just want to, you know, at the end of my life, realize that I've done everything I could to move it forward, or I did everything I could, and it's time to put it on the back burner. You know, I just want to be complete with it. I'm not complete with it. And I think I mentioned last time, it's with the all the problems in the world, all the violence in the world that brings it up that much stronger that, hey, I'm supposed to bring it back, because I really see a lot of solution in my programs to combat those problems.
Okay, let's do questions for Chrissy first. Do either of you have any specific questions for her to clarify what she's looking for?
Okay.
Lisa, you look like
I don't even know that. Chrissy, I have a vague idea of what you're doing with this. And I absolutely understand the passion that you bring to it. But I haven't got a clue where you're stuck. Because without a plan and without some sort of structure in terms of how you approached, you know, is the problem with getting the players signed up or involved? Is the problem with getting the program into the schools? Is the problem with, you know, getting funding? I am still so unclear on exactly where you're stuck that I can't help, because I'm completely at a loss. You're asking for blind spots, and I can't tell you where your blind spots are if I don't know what your plan is, and I don't know what it is how you're going to proceed.
Okay, I understand your point of view, but a plan is not in order right now.
Okay, let me ask a different question, Chrissy. Very specifically, what is it you want to bring to the kids, and how is it you want to use your players?
Oh, I have programs for
Will that help you, Lisa?
Let's start with that, yeah.
Okay.
I have programs for children. every player's story concludes with an instant replay of their guiding principles, where teachers have students read one of my players' stories and then take a look at their guiding principles. Each player has several, and pick one guiding principle they're drawn to and write an essay. And the program is Adopt an Insightful Player Guiding Principle. Write an essay on why they're drawn to that guiding principle, what they learned from that particular player's story, how will that guiding principles impact their life now and later on, and where can we support them? And so once the students write several stories, read several stories and pick several guiding principles. And so each student has a series of principles that they're really drawn to work on. And once they have those principles, we go into the classroom with a player and we design a program for them. And from there, from the program, then we bring in coaching to give the kids specific feedback and support on how to bring those principles into their life.
And has this program been done anywhere yet?
South Jersey.
Okay. Has it gone from start to finish?
It's gone from start to finish, yes.
And do you have any testimonials from either the teachers, the players, or the kids on that?
Well, that's really odd. This is a continuing theme. When I was there with my player, the teacher was like unbelievably, I worked with her for a couple of months beforehand. Got her set up with the stories for the children. She loved the program. The kids really got into it. This particular class was two classrooms of special needs high school students, and the teacher could not believe how into the kids were and how much they grew. Also heard from parents. And while we were there, we did that private program for these two classrooms, and then we did a school assembly. The principal, the assistant principal, someone else on the board, they all came to us, treated us like rock stars. And they said, we have to have you back. This was amazing. I can't believe how much this is really enlightening our kids. And then they won't return my calls. It just doesn't make sense to me. But that's a recurring theme since I started Insightful Player, and I don't get it.
Can I ask you a question then?
Yep.
Who paid for the program?
I did it for free.
And that's probably part of the issue, because every single school district is under an enormous amount of pressure to cut budgets. And you have to be able to show them, even if it gets results, stuff is being cut because school budgets are always under pressure. So maybe one of the reasons they don't want to call you back, you don't know, you'll never know because they're not calling you back. But they'll do it for free.
Yeah, I won't.
And that's where you run into trouble. It's a money issue. It's like if you could come in with funding from other places, then it would be free for the school district. Okay. And this is where grant writing comes in, I guess. But I don't you're going to be able to get school districts to pay for this without a track record. And the problem is that any track record you have is going to possibly, it's going to run into the money problem, because unless you have funding, you're going to have to pay for it.
Right.
I think your fundamental problem or your blind spot's money.
Well,
if you're not going to do this for free, then you're going to have to figure out a way to get other people and other like corporate sponsors to sponsor it. Because there isn't a school district that's going to be willing to pay for this right now. Now, possibly
I never expected the schools to pay for it.
Okay, but the issue is this. It may just be, Chrissy, that they're just, if you look at all the headlines, everybody's having huge money problems. You know, all of the school districts are. So, I'm wondering, when you called them up, was it a sales pitch in terms of, hey, now let's, I want to take this to the next step and let's talk about budgets? Or was this just, look, I would just like your feedback and some written testimonials. That's all I want.
Yes. Second. Yes. Yes. Right. It doesn't make sense. It's been a recurring thing. And I never expected the schools to pay. And I was out looking for sponsors to pay.
Right.
that want to be in front of these students and in front of these teachers. I even got verbal commitments that didn't follow through.
Who didn't follow through? You didn't follow through or they didn't?
Oh, I always follow through. I've never been slack with anyone.
So when you said you got verbal commitments and there was no follow through?
From the company.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 No, it was disappointing. So I just can't believe that, this program I know can change lives. I think there's so many children that need support and help, and my program offers that and more. And I think it can make a huge difference. And I think that's why I was put on this earth. That's why I was born into the family I was born into, with a father as a coach and a mother as a saint. I think everything I've done has prepared me for this. And I've had two very successful businesses, and that's why it surprises me, you know? I think it's a solution.
Jen, do you have anything to add?
So, yeah, I mean, first I have to say, Chrissy, that I have to imagine it's probably extremely frustrating to get verbal accolades from the school in New Jersey, and they rave about it, but then from them at least to assist you moving forward. Because, I mean, the nice thing is that if you've already done it at one school, being able to at least, and kind of what Laura was touching on, is get testimonials, get feedback from them, so you could kind of wrap it in a package to show to sponsors, hey, this is, we've done it, they love it, let's, you know, move forward. And I don't know how to fix that other than maybe just, my thought is maybe send them an email, you know, to the teacher saying, would you mind just writing something up? Because maybe even though you're calling them and saying, hey, I want to talk to you, get a testimonial, they're going to see it as you want, you need money from them, or you want something from them to bring the school in, and they know they don't have the funding to do it. So my only thought is that sometimes, at least I know for me, if somebody emails me like, hey, do you just want to do this real quick? Or if you can send this testimonial, I'll do it. Because I've countless times, and I'm not suggesting this is what you're doing, but I'm just trying to figure out why maybe they're just not getting back to you, is that people trick me by saying, hey, I just want to talk to you about this. They get me on the phone, and then it's a 15-minute sales call. So I'm kind of thinking that it would be awesome if you could take what you've done, because, you know, and benefit from it. You did that for free. You should get something out of this. And that's not, I mean, it's not right that they're not responding to you, but being able to take and kind of package it for getting financing somewhere. And I'm kind of, it's touching upon, I think the conversation we had last time is really, you want to go into the school districts that, you know, low income places like that. I mean,
right.
Sure, probably private schools have the financing to do it, but you know, I mean, that's not where you want to go. So you need to be able to package this program and say, we've done this, it works, and show it to a company or show it to the NFL or show it to your players and say, will you get behind this and support it? But I think you need, because I had the same comment as Lisa's, have you done this before? And if you've done it and it's worked, use that as a model. But I would suggest either, probably email's the easiest thing to do, is email the teachers, the principals, try to get some testimonials, some feedback so you can use that.
And how long ago was
it?
How long ago was the program in New Jersey, Chrissy?
A couple of years. And I have tried to reach them. I mean, I can send another email. But and I did another program in the fall, this past fall, with two schools, two high school students. I mean, two high school football teams. And all the businesses in the community. And they were like, after I presented, I got a standing ovation, everyone came up to me, you know, the high school boys hugged me. I mean, it was like, that's why I don't understand. You know, I made it very personal. I got to know who those boys were. It was each team had like five or six captains. I knew everyone's name. I knew everyone's strengths. You know, I knew where they were going to college, and I rolled that all into the...
Okay, let me ask a different question on a totally different track. Believing, in fact, that you are on this earth to impact these children and make a difference for the world at large. If insightful player is not in the picture, what would you do instead?
Coaching.
To make that happen.
Yeah. It's always been, I built it as a coach. Insightful player, the programs have always been my biggest passion, to follow up every program with coaching.
Okay.
And it's not like a 3-month thing. It's to stick with the kids, you know? In the bowels of the U.S. is where I wanted to go.
Okay. Okay. So if insightful player goes on the back burner, can you create a coaching program or something around coaching for kids and use insightful player in your coaching without making that be what you're selling?
Say that again.
I don't know if I can.
Insightful player, the way I had it trademarked, actually anyone can be an insightful player in their life, you know, so it doesn't have to involve the sports figures. If I heard you correctly.
If you create a program for kids, but regardless of what you do, if you're targeting kids, you're still going to have the same funding issue and sponsorship issue that people talked about.
Right.
So whatever the program is, and I've known you a long time, Chrissy, and Insightful Player, while the players have been very enthusiastic about sharing their stories with you and being part of the book, you've hit roadblocks all along the way trying to launch this in something bigger.
It's true.
And maybe that's the message that needs to be heard. Just rethink the whole thing, and how else can you do what you want to do in the world?
What is the message? I missed that.
Because I think
you keep getting blocked when you start doing something with insightful player, like this not returning calls, and you've had the same thing with the NFL and the whole group there. But there doesn't seem to be the responsiveness. The roadblocks go up.
Yeah.
And that's the message I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Those keep getting thrown in your face.
Right.
Go ahead, Jen.
I was going to say, because ultimately, if it comes down to funding, because I think, and I'm sorry because my internet's terrible, I think what you had said earlier, Chrissy, is that you don't see the need to do a plan at this point in time, like a business plan or a model for it. But if you're trying to go out there and get sponsors, whether it be through a company or some sort of grant work, and I've never written a grant, but I know it involves a lot of writing and planning.
I know that. I know, Jen, I don't mean to interrupt. I completely know that. That's not what I need today. It's the conceptualization. Okay. Am I going to go forward with this? I can create a plan like there's no tomorrow. I'm very strategic. I'm always on top of my goals, and I know where I'm going. The problem is I don't know where I'm going. And once I know where I'm going, I can create a kick-ass plan that's very detailed and that will wow people. But that's not what I need right now. Because okay. I don't know the what. I need the what. I know the why.
So you're trying to figure out whether to proceed forward with Insightful Player or try to go down a different path to get the same goal.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't know.
And it's been 10 years now. So this has been a 10-year journey to get us to where we are now.
Well, no, it's been 9 years since I started Insightful Player, in 10 years since it's been since 2009 when I started it, and 2010 when I launched it. But I started calling on the NFL much earlier than that. But from as a coach, right. You know, so that was different. So I'll just keep going. I'll keep trying to think of, I'm just going to reach out to some of my players and talk to them, see what their input is.
Okay.
And I need to be vulnerable and transparent, you know, and that's what I will be.
Okay. I'm not sure this was tremendously helpful to you today, Chrissy. Was it?
Yeah, as long as we don't go down the plan route, because that's not, I'm not ready for that. I would love to be in the position to create a plan, but that's not where I'm at right now.
Okay, so what are you then committing to for next month?
I'm going to reach out to a few of my players and get their input, and a couple people from the media that I'm really comfortable with.
Okay. And another question, what will it take for you to know whether mm-hmm. Insightful Player is a go or not?
That's a good question.
I get help from outside of myself.
What do you mean?
Two of my players say, I'm going to tweak the hell out of this for a week. Let's see where we are at the end of the week. I'm just making that up. That was the first thing that came to my mind. And let's reassess at the end of the week and come back together. So, you know, players that want to partner with this and try to make it work and to give it as much as they have, you know.
But the question really is, internally, for you yourself, how will you know if, in fact, it's time to
let if it I can't influence real? Anyone to help out.
Okay.
If there's no possibility for that, then I'm writing a screenplay about this. And the audience will root for me.
They do. They will.
I did start a screenplay a few years ago.
I remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Okay. For Jen and Lisa, what did you get out of that?
I see for Chrissy that she has this amazing, amazing concept and idea, and it's just kind of figuring out how to get there. So Chrissy, you remind me of a good friend of mine that all the time he says, I want to do this, and I'm the practical person. I'm like, there's no way you can do this. And time after time, he surely does actually succeed and proves to me that you can do these things. So it is inspiring for me because I'm very much more of, I think, I don't know, cynical.
You're an attorney.
I need to see it.
Very practical. You're practical.
Visualize. But I think it's incredible. And I think, you know, for me, I feel for you because it has to be absolutely frustrating to get accolades from people and tell you that this is amazing and then nothing. Like, just people suck sometimes and it drives me crazy. It's not fair. I can tell the way you talk about this that it's really truly in your heart, and this is a hard decision. I mean, this decision has to come from you, whether you decide you want to go down a different path or you want to continue with it. And I don't think anybody else can make that decision for you, but I can feel that it really means a lot to you.
It does. Thank you.
Lisa?
I don't know that I got anything out of it other than just a lot of frustration on Chrissy's behalf. Honestly, it's like, you know, and I'm sure we have all experienced that thing where it's somebody says it was amazing, it was wonderful, I had a great time, you know, this, that, the other thing, and they don't call back ever. And to have it on this kind of scale from so many different places, and then also, but because it is so, Chrissy is so, it's a great idea and you're passionate about it. And to have that passion basically constantly have doors slammed in your face, it's just incredibly frustrating and at some level hurtful too. And I feel for you for that because it's like, it's obvious that you're just really passionate and really frustrated. And I don't know why. And they're all, you know, and all I can do is just, it's just, it happens.
Right, it does happen.
People just don't make the calls back. And it's just like, you're like, I don't know what I'm missing. I don't know what I don't know. And it's frustrating.
It is. And you
know, and I don't know how to help. You know, it's, I don't know how to give any suggestions except, and no suggestions, just sympathy.
I know one thing, that it already saved the life of a child who was suicidal. And that's, I have fact that's evidence, and a child had some kind of form of cancer that one of my players had, put him in touch. The player saved his life. The story saved his life. Another right. man was dying, and his wife read him my stories because he was a football fan while he was dying. So I know it's helping people. I'm just so sick of this, you know. Mm. It's having a deep impact on people. It's not just a little impact.
Yeah.
This is going to change humanity. I mean, that's how passionate I am about this.
I'm thinking like Kickstarter.
It can
Kickstarter.
Only be, it only can, it can only change humanity if it gets in the hands of the people.
It gets in the hands of the children.
Yeah. It's I Kickstarter?
Adults. How's that?
Kickstarter, GoFundMe, start small. You know, say this is what my goal is. You know, people get a free story or, you know, a copy of your book or something like that. Maybe you grassroots it. You're trying to go from the top down. Maybe you need to go this way.
Good idea.
You know, and it's like, and then have a very, very sort of, not small goal, but sort of not, I want to save the world, but I want to save this school.
Well, I do feel that way.
Well, and then kickstart it and grow it and social media the hell out of it and, you know, and have people fund the do the GoFundMe thing and start with one small place, you know, and then maybe that can build on its own. But, you know, I hear I want to save humanity and my response because of what I do is, well, for most of us, saving people one person or one classroom at a time is easier. And then maybe it builds on itself, but maybe that's what it is.
Yeah,
you can move it down.
It's not me who's saving humanity. It's the children that are going
to save. Okay, no, but listen to what I'm saying, Chrissy. You're going organizationally top down. It's not working. Go from the bottom up.
I know.
Use the grassroots. Save one classroom. Have one classroom do this. Have people, you know, find a charity school like they do at the credit unions where they have everybody throw in pencils before the school year. They have one classroom that they're going to give those pencils to, or one school. So you start do a GoFundMe where you say, this classroom in this school has all these issues. This player is going to come in. You get an autographed picture from this player if you give me $50. You get a signed story from this player if you give me $150. This is how much I need to save this classroom. And see if you can't go this way rather than that way. Because this way is not working.
Oh, I can clearly see that.
Yeah.
I like that idea, because if the idea is that you go back and you try to reconnect with some of your players and see if they're committed, well, that's if they then start using like Twitter or Facebook and say, hey, check out this awesome program. We want to bring it to this school. Click here. And then you can get the funding that way and use, you know, when you talk to your players.
Cloud.
Yeah, and you can have the players, you know, that's free media to get funding for that school and start there. I love that idea.
And maybe let the player choose which school he wants to save.
Yes, perfect. Maybe it's his school that he came from. Because a lot of these players come from really cruddy schools, and the football is the way they make it.
Yep.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
So you got your help seat going on after the wrap-up. That's not bad. It's funny when the ideas just snap when they snap. Then
yep. You
can't really predict when they're going to come up.
Thank you, everybody.
You're welcome.
Okay, Jen, you get to be next.
Okay. So, well, mine's kind of vague, and I don't really know exactly how to do this. There is a pattern that I have in my life in that I will overcommit myself to many things, and then I will I will overcommit myself, and then I will stress out, and I will be working too much, and then once I actually get things off my plate, I will commit myself to more things. I cannot say no. It is very hard for me to say no to anybody, and then I constantly feel like I'm letting people down or not doing it quick enough. The only time in my life that I was better dealing with this is when Grayson was born, and I basically bailed out of a bunch of different organizations saying, hey, I have a new kid. I need to devote time there. It's just really hard for me to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And I think similar to actually what Chrissy's going through right now is that, you know, I just signed on to be, and I can't go into the details because it's not announced yet, but I signed on to be part of this animal law, Nevada-based group to try to make change here. And it's exciting and it's thrilling and it's totally something I want to do. But I have all these other things going on. So I'm trying, well, we are getting help at work. We have an intern here now, but I can't say no to people. And it's driving me crazy.
You haven't learned how to say no to people yet.
Exactly. So, and that's my problem.
So what kind of group did you join? You say animal-based?
It's an animal law. It's we're trying to change legislation in Nevada, but it's not. It's through like an awesome national, well-known organization, but they haven't announced it yet, so I can't say who.
Okay.
So okay. I signed up for that, which is going to take more time, but I need to learn how to say no and not feel guilty about it.
May I?
Certainly. Go ahead, Lisa.
All these things are really important, and I kind of wonder if you think that it's a matter of prioritizing in terms of prioritizing your time, prioritizing your energy, figuring out where, you know, how you spend your time is how you create your life. So if you say yes to everybody and you're running ragged and you're feeling like, okay, well, you know, so you're only giving everyone 10% of what you can do, then that's what you've prioritized. You'd rather go shallow and all over rather than deeply in one. Really, it's a matter of sitting down and thinking about where do I want to spend my energy? And given that you only have so much time in the day, so many units of energy in the day, which are the ones, how do you want to prioritize it and how do you want to use it? And then based on that, it's a practice, because you're right, you haven't learned how to do this yet. So you don't know how to do this because you haven't practiced it. But saying no is an art. Saying no is a skill, rather, not an art. It's a skill. And you have to look at this and go, do I really want to spend my time? Because if I do this and this and this, and then I say yes to this, and the amount of time I'm spending on all of them gets shallow. Is that what you want to do? And if the answer is no, then you need to figure out who gets how much of what, because you don't have an unlimited supply of energy. So saying no comes from a commitment to the things that you really want to spend your energy on.
Chrissy?
I was wondering if you'd be interested in having a discussion around your process for when you said no when your baby Grayson was born. And I'm wondering if this we could look at that process, because it sounds like you do know how to say no.
And I think what that comes down to is that I will put him in front of myself.
Okay.
So I knew it impacted him and my relationship with him.
Okay.
So I was able to say no to people, and I felt that was a legitimate excuse for saying no, in that I'm putting my family first. Now, that goes back to why am I not doing it now? Because it's way more important to spending time with him now versus when he was like a big sack of potatoes and didn't know what I was doing. quite frankly, maybe it's just me reminding myself of that when I say yes to all of these other things, it's going to take time away from him, and I should put myself first, but it's challenging.
Lisa?
Should. There is should in this. I want, I choose, not should. Should is other people's expectations. I want and I choose are your decisions.
Let me ask another clarifying question of you, Jen.
Yeah.
Are the things that you are saying yes to business related or outside of business?
That's a good question.
Both.
Is there a majority?
Right now it's other stuff, I think, outside. I was proud of myself because we had a new case that came in last week and John is handling it. I didn't take it, even though it's for a client I did work for before. He has more time, so I let it go. I think it's administrative stuff for work that we have to do, and then some stuff outside of work.
So.
And are they social?
No.
Okay, and Chrissy, you had something?
So I'm wondering if you want to just kind of, would you be interested in giving yourself a little game for or a trial for just a week? Is that something you'd be open to?
Depends on what it is.
So what if it, for a 1 week, the only person that you say yes to is Jen? And if someone asks you to do something, your response is, thank you for asking, but I'm not able to. Or at the very least, if that kills you, say, thank you for asking, let me get back to you. Regardless of what they ask of you. Just so you can build that muscle just for a week. Just try it for 1 week. Would that be something you'd be open to?
Yes. I don't know if I can do it, but yes.
You don't know if you can do it?
No.
What, in honor of Grayson?
Maybe.
And to model for Grayson? To be a role model for Grayson? What do you think of that?
See, it's an interesting concept, but then I think in the back of my head, if I say, well, let me think about it, then the next week I'm going to do all the things that I put off the week before.
Hmm? What do you mean?
If things that you commit to, is there other people who can do what you say yes to?
Sometimes.
Hmm? And if they don't get done, does the world come to an end?
No, but I feel really bad.
Okay, good. Congratulations. You get to feel really bad.
So,
how's that working for you, Jen?
Terrible.
Maybe if you're feeling bad, it's a sign that you're on the right track.
Well, really I will give you guys an example. Okay. Because Cheryl's not on the phone, so I do not want to make her feel bad. At our last board meeting for Hearts Alive, I somehow found myself signing up for like helping out with three things, and I have no idea when I'm gonna have to do it, time to do it. So I am gonna talk to her this week, but it makes me feel horrible when I have to back out of things that I committed to. I should have never committed to it in the first place. I don't have time. And Laura was in that meeting with me. I felt we were getting tremendous pressure, and Laura was great at only signing up for certain things, and that was fantastic, and I couldn't do it.
Do you know anybody else who's good at saying no?
No.
Besides me.
No. Yeah, Laura's really good at it.
No.
Yeah.
No. Okay. All right. So now I have to have this conversation with Cheryl that I'm not going to be able to do certain things. I will do other things. But I feel guilty about it. I should never have said yes. And so now I've been up since 4 in the morning thinking about all these things I need.
Congratulations. Okay. Yeah. Chrissy's given you one idea. What other ideas do you have for Jen for practicing the no muscle, for strengthening her no muscle?
Well, I would love for Jen to look at this experience with Hearts Alive as her PhD in saying no. Like you extract all the wisdom from that experience. You know, Cheryl's so compassionate and cares so much for you that she'll understand and really, you know, glean all the wisdom for this so you never have to do that again. And, you know, and be gentle with Jen. Gentle with Jen. Gentle with Jen.
I have to disagree on one thing. This is not her PhD.
She's in remedial no.
This is what?
She's in remedial no school right now.
Yeah, but she could choose to make this her PhD if she...
Except Chrissy, we all know that it's a habit she needs to change. It's a behavior she needs to change. It's not going to happen because she chooses to graduate with a PhD from one experience. She's going to need more practice strengthening this muscle. So Hearts Alive is a great place to start. Absolutely. Yes.
I like Lisa's idea too. And I'm going to have it in my mind this week, Chrissy, when things come up, whether to actually commit myself or say no. But I love Lisa's idea about prioritizing what is important to me. And seeing what I can cut out or put on the back burner or have other people do. So,
Jen, you're an amazing woman, but you're a perfectionist.
Yeah.
And you want everybody to do it right, and right means the way I would do it.
That's correct.
What winds up happening is that then your energy has to be invested because you have these expectations of what it is that it should look like. My dad has always said, better is the enemy of good enough. You need to learn how to let go. This is the same issue you had with Chris. It needs to be good enough. It's not going to be the way you do it. And you know what? It may be that somebody learns something by having it be good enough, having somebody else do it, because they might learn a new way of doing it. Right now, everything has to be done the Jen way to your standards and expectations. And what that means is you've got skin in the game for everything that you are involved in because you want it to be perfect according to your thing. So you know what? Decide whether or not it's really worth paying for out of your energetic account.
Yeah.
If it's good enough, part of this is just learning how to say it's good enough. It really is. It's good enough. Is it the way I would have done it? Hell no. Is it good enough to get what needs to be done, done? Basically, you need to lower your standards.
Oh, no, I don't want her to lower the standard.
Well, no, the standards of what good enough is, you know, it's like when she's doing it and she wants it to be a specific way, she needs to understand that that's going to be matched by her energy balance. The standard lowering is saying, if Chris does it and he gets it to this far, that's good enough. So that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
The lowering the standards is the difference between 100% my way and good enough.
Go ahead, Chrissy.
I think Lisa just said something brilliant. I think, you know, to take a look at it as an account, your energetic account, it, you know, does this withdrawal give me energy or take energy away? I mean, and then, you know, well, how can I deposit? I mean, if you can look at it as a withdrawal from your energy account, that means it can't be replaced. And mm-hmm. I'm also wondering if you need to, quote unquote, sell the idea of saying no to yourself. I'm wondering if it might be valuable for you to think, what value would this bring to my life? You know, create an aspirational value for you of what your life would look like if you only said yes when you meant yes and no when you meant no.
Yeah.
You look at it from a bigger perspective, Jen, if that would be helpful to you.
And it will. And I liked that too that Lisa said. Because I'm teaching my son now about buckets, happiness buckets, how to make other people happy, and then you take away happiness if you're mean to people. So, yeah, you have a bucket. The one thing not necessarily disagree, but Lisa's right, is that I'm a perfectionist. But this, for me, is something different because I'm absolutely working on and training myself to delegate to other people. But this is me committing myself to things that I can't involve other people. It's saying no, that I'm not going to be part of something. Yes. I was going to say you wrote on it.
No, that's the title. Can you see it?
I like that.
Yeah. Oh, I love the title.
Basically, it's sort of what you're speaking to, and her writing style is hysterical. This is our bedtime story right now in my house. I'm reading this to Christopher. And really, she's saying the same thing. It's, you have an energetic account. You only have so much energy during the day. Where are you going to allocate it? You know. And for you, then my question is do you feel like you have to justify? Is this all stuff you want to do and you wish you had more time, or is this I feel like I need to justify something?
My worth,
myself, my world, my worth.
I think it's all stuff I want to do, but finding the time to do it and figuring out if actually that's possible that I can do it all, or if certain things are just not going to happen.
Or just not happen now.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. Sometimes you have Grayson, and that right now, if that's your priority, the question is what can you do later that, you know, it doesn't mean don't do it. It just means don't do it now. There's only so much you can do in a day now. So maybe you do these two things over there and Grayson and your family, because, you know, Chris ought to be in there a little bit somewhere. and then what happens is as Grayson gets older and you don't need to be as involved, then you can spend more time on these other things. But, you know, yeah, thinking of it as an account really makes a difference, because realistically, how much can you actually do and do well? Because the other thing is that if you're doing too many things, nobody's going to get enough of you to
act. That's so black and white. You're so practical. That account thing, I think, would be really wonderful.
Yeah, Lisa, we just lost you.
How old's Grayson?
Four.
Four, okay.
Yeah.
And on the energetic thing, on the same concept of the energy, and I think we talked about this in WBC too, is you think about how much time each of us has in the day. We all have the same amount of time. You know, you think the 86,400 seconds a day. How much of it is spent sleeping? Okay, take that right off the table. How much is spent in grooming and eating? Take that off the top. How much is left? And how much of what's left is work? How much is left over for everything else that you say you want to do? You know, it's an energetic thing. It's time. It's choice. So the saying no is, it is a muscle. It is a skill. And Lisa's comment that if it's something you really want to do, it just might not be the right time right now. So you keep it on a list someplace of things you'll come back to. But saying no, it's also for you the practice of actually saying no, or using Chrissy's language to say, let me get back to you, or I have to think about that. But you can practice just biting your tongue, or use the 30-second rule. And before you answer at all, take 30 seconds and think about it. It's easy to come back and change a no to a yes. It's less difficult. I mean, it's less easy to change a yes to a no.
Yes. Right.
So you start with the no, and then if you change your mind, you can always come back to it. And I know you're such a big movie fan, and Sound of Music is not one you've seen, right?
No, but I have Smith Center on Friday night.
Okay, good. This watch for the line where the captain is talking to the Baroness outside his mansion, and she asks him a question about how peaceful he seems when he's out here and how busy life is in the city. And his comment is just, well, a life full of, it's the essence is, when you're really busy, you look important. And, you know, women are very bad at self-care. And that's what you're talking about.
Right.
You know, it is all about choice. If your values are around family and Chris and Grayson, then how much time are you spending with them, and how much are you cheating yourself of the things that are the most important to you?
Right.
So, other ideas for how she says no, Chrissy?
Well,
how does she practice this?
I think, again, what Lisa said and what you're talking about is to, you know, get really clear on what your biggest priorities are, Grayson, you know, your husband and your work, and just write them down and clear, and then kind of just take an inventory. How did I honor my priorities today? Just so you can know if you're on target or not. But I was wondering if you wanted, if it'd be helpful for you to like send us a note, how you're doing this week with saying yes to Jen and no to others. I don't know if that would be the accountability. We could be rooting for you in the background, or if that would be helpful or not.
Sure.
Good.
I will keep you guys posted.
Yeah. So do you want to take on that project just for a week to just say no to others and yes to Jen? Are you open to that?
Yes.
Oh,
stability.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Okay.
That's a big step for humanity.
at least this little corner of Las Vegas.
That's awesome, Jen. That's very inspiring. And how can we support you?
I'm not sure. I will email you this week, but having your support, if I email you, that would be great.
Okay.
So
good for you.
Good.
I will do my best.
It's a muscle. It's a habit, and it's a learned behavior.
Yeah.
And Lisa just sent me a text that her router died, so she's not coming back.
That's not good.
Sounds like she's going to Office Max or Office Depot on the way home from the airport. This is one of the really big things for us as women, is to learn to say no when that's exactly what we mean. It's partly how the joy test was born. Because you, Jen, I had said yes to a ton of things. In order for my life to start working, I had to let things go. And I had to start getting off boards and saying no to the things that really were not good for me. I might have gotten into them because they seemed like they would be good for my business. But it's not a good enough reason to stay involved when your energy is diminished as a result of. So, yeah, this 1 week of saying yes only to you is, I think it's a great plan. So what else are you going to take on then, Jen? What is the big goal for this next month for you? Is it saying no?
Saying no and prioritizing, figuring out what is important and what am I doing just because I feel an obligation to do it, and seeing what I can cut out. I mean, and I'm always going to have that variable where if I have some emergency coming in for a client or something like that, that's always going to happen. That's always there. But I want to free up more time because this is issues having to do with Chris's schedule and everything. But one of my goals for this summer was that certain days I would be able to leave work early and pick Grayson up at school at 3 and we'd hang out for the afternoon. I've done that 3 times this summer. So I've pretty much failed at that goal. And that is important to me. That's very important to me. We figured out for the fall, we're going to send him in extended care so he can go in earlier in the morning so I can get to work earlier because I'm an early person. And this summer, for the most part, I've been getting to work by 9 o'clock, which drives me crazy because I feel like I'm already the day's gone. I'm fixing that for the fall and that he's going to go into school earlier. So there are days that I can pick him up and hang out with him for a couple hours before dinner. But I need to get some stuff off my plate.
Okay. So what are the actions you're going to take then?
I'm going to go through what is occupying my time and what is important to me and what I can cut out or limit. Or delegate.
Okay, so we're going to do the D-cube thing, do it, delegate it, or dump it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else?
No, I think that's big enough.
Okay. You forgot the whole piece about the action of saying yes only to you.
Well, yeah, that was already included in my list.
All right.
1 week. Only say yes to me.
And then you're going to get to like it so much that you'll keep going.
Yes, I will do my best.
Okay. And Chrissy, what did you get out of that with Jen?
It shows me how overcommitted I am. And how I'm always in doing mode. And being very productive with, I need more pockets of space for myself right now. I have too many commitments. And some of them are lovely commitments, but there's just no pockets of no commitment, you know? Right. And that has a lot to do with caring for my elderly aunt.
And again, it's another question of extreme self-care. That we're another thing we need to learn to do.
Right.
Because we're not very good at it for the most part.
Yeah.
Good. So what would you like to talk about for the balance of the call? Is there any topic that comes up for either of you that is very timely or relevant to your life and your business?
I can't think of anything.
Huh?
I can't think of anything.
Okay.
Maybe I wasn't prepared to think of something else.
I mean, closing early wouldn't be bad because of my overcommitment.
I understand. And I have stuff that I can pull up that I looked through this morning. But I think that we will, because of that overcommitment, Chrissy and Jen, will. How about you use the last 20 minutes of the call time to really look at those priorities that you have and what you're committed to and what you can let go and start that process now?
Yeah.
That would be a very good use of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I like that idea.
Okay. Good. Then you're off the hook for the rest of the call. And Lisa will be back with us next time when she's got a working router.
Hopefully.
Don't we love technology?
Oh, I know. It's so frustrating.
Chris actually had to come into our office yesterday, my husband, because he does our IT, because the internet kept dropping. I'm like, oh! So,
and did you get it resolved?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you guys have the same service?
Are you guys on Cox?
Yes. I think it just needed to be restarted. It hadn't been restarted for a really long time, so it just needed a refresher.
That's wonderful. Your husband has that talent.
Yeah,
it is.
Occasionally it just needs a reboot.
Yeah.
And how's it look for moving the office?
So
still negotiating?
Yeah, so we went up, we looked upstairs last week. We're waiting for a price because we're waiting for the managing partner to give us a price on upstairs renting, and he's been in trial, so he hasn't gone back to the office manager to tell us. We think that's probably the most useful space because we looked at a couple of other spaces on Thursday. Okay, yes, please. We looked at a couple other places on Thursday and Friday of last week. All of it's too small, and or it'll need a lot of renovations.
Okay, good. And certainly a simpler move just to go upstairs.
Yeah, we can easily just basically turnkey move in. We don't have to do any remodeling or anything. The other places, if we were to take them, they would probably be at least 3 months out in the remodeling, which I don't want to do it again. I don't want to do it.
Right.
So.
Good. Okay.
Priorities. Your priorities.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're looking for the easy.
Yeah.
We're looking for the easy.
You're so fingers crossed.
You're very clear, Jen.
Hopefully.
Good. So. Okay, ladies, have a good couple of weeks, and we'll see you on the 16th.
Perfect.
Okay?
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you.